You're listening to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the DFS Karma Podcast Network. Now here's your host with the most, Jack Caparuccio.
Welcome back to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the Karma Media Network. I'm your host, Jack Caparuccio, a.k.a. Clinic Cap on Twitter. This is episode number 10 of the No Cap Podcast. Can you believe we even made it to 10 episodes already? I honestly didn't think we'd get past one. Yeah, here we are. Today, we're diving into the most important NFL news heading into Week 5 and digging into the Super Mailbag as always. If you want to see my starts, sits, and weekly rankings, head over to dfskarma.com to read up. If you want my insights on Thursday Night Football player props, that article is already live for free at betkarma.com. If you need Dynasty help, feel free to join our Discord at dfskarma.com, and you'll get direct access to me and the rest of the experts with our Fantasy Football Karma Season Pass Plus. Head over to dfskarma.com to check that out in more detail. Let's get right into it. So more Josh Gordon news. He's been activated to the 53-man roster today, and he's expected to play in Sunday's game. If anyone's going to ask to start him, I would hesitate. We don't know what his usage would look like in this game. We have no idea what he looks like in terms of like if he can still play at a high level. I know it's enticing because he's athletic freak. He's with Patrick Mahomes, but I would avoid starting him if you have him until further notice. Big Ben is dealing with a hip injury. So is my grandma, but here we are. They're probably the same age at this point. Big Ben has looked awful, obviously, since his wide receiver one is essentially Najee Harris with all the targets he gives him. But you have to monitor it because it's Big Ben. It's starting quarterback. It's fine. But I would not really look too much into this because if you're starting Big Ben for fantasy, you're probably down pretty bad. So I would avoid starting him, period. But if you have to, monitor this injury. The Chicago Bears have traded for wide receiver Jakeem Grant of the Miami Dolphins. I don't see to look too much into this. The Bears used to have Ted Ginn, so I'm assuming he takes over this kind of role in their offense. I don't really see a need for Jakeem Grant, but it's a trade, and it's a trade, so I just have to tell you about it. I don't see a lot of fantasy impacts, but that's news. Jimmy Garoppolo has a calf contusion. They still say he might play this weekend, so we saw, you know, the first coming of Trey Lance this weekend, and we saw him be extremely fantasy relevant as he was the QB14 in just a half of football played. So for fantasy purposes, if you're a Trey Lance manager, whether it's Dynasty or Redraft, you obviously want Trey Lance to play. And if you're a Deebo Samuel manager, since he was the primary target there. But just be cautioned that Jimmy G may play. The injury is not as serious as they thought at first, so just keep that in mind when you're going to do waiver ads, set your lineups, everything like that. Teddy Bridgewater of the Denver Broncos has been concussed. Drew Locke got put in. We don't know if Bridgewater will be good to go this weekend. If he clears concussion protocol, I would fully expect him to start. And for the sake of our fantasy wide receivers and assets on the Broncos, I do hope he starts. I think he's better than Locke at this point. Logan Thomas of the Washington football team injured his hamstring and got pulled out of that game. I'm not sure on the severity of this yet. I have not seen reports on it. I've looked. So I don't know if he's going to be good to go this week. If you have Logan Thomas, he's obviously probably your starting lineup. So at this point, I would be looking to the waiver wire, which I will talk about a little bit more later. We have an article over at DFS Karma for that. But I would be monitoring the tight ends to stream this week because you might be without Logan Thomas. Will Fuller of the Miami Dolphins broke his finger. So if he's not hurt and he's not suspended for PEDs, he's hurt again. He broke his finger. He got pulled out of the game. I don't know if it's going to be a thing that makes him, you know, make time. You need your fingers and your hands if you're a wide receiver. I would assume. I never played wide receiver, but I would think you need your fingers intact. So keep that in mind. I'm bumping Jaylen Waddle up from this, who has looked like the primary target anyways. But if you want to get sneaky in our deeper leagues, and I think Devontae Parker is worth a speculative ad, you could probably flex him because somebody has to fill the role in the offense. And I would think Devontae Parker, who's already on a contract, would help fill that role. And he's also seen a higher target share in recent weeks. So keep an eye on Parker. He's probably free in your leagues, or if he's not free, he's very cheap. Tony Jones Jr. of the New Orleans Saints hurt his ankle. There's still not a lot of details out about this yet. It's just something to keep in mind that we saw Alvin Kamara have a lot more rushing touches. He didn't really have much receiving work, which has been the frustrating part of him this season. But with Jones Jr. out, I would expect him to probably see even more rushing work because who else is there with a pulse in that backfield besides Alvin Kamara? This one stinks. DJ Shark Jr. landed on IR with a fractured ankle on Thursday Night Football. He should be out for the season. It stinks, but we have to look at it, you know, from an analytical side of things, and I would also be bumping Marvin Jones more from this, who has looked like T-Law's favorite target early on. And as we saw, Laviska Shenault now is a startable fantasy asset. As soon as DJ Chark went out, which, you know, granted was early on, as soon as he went out, Laviska was one of the go-to guys, and actually was the go-to guy, as he way outproduced Marvin Jones in this game. So if you have Laviska, now's the time to play him. Now's the time to flex him. If you don't have Laviska and he's probably on some waiver wires, I would go add him. People might still be soured on it, and maybe they don't know about DJ Shark because it was a Thursday night game. Might have slipped under the radar. Who knows? Go check your waivers. I wouldn't be surprised if he was dropped by some people. So I'm briefly go over the waiver wire ads for this week. You can see the full article of this at dfskarma.com, which has full breakdowns and write-up and has more players. So I'm only going to go over five players. If you want the full list, go to the website. It's a free article. It'll take you 5 minutes to read it, and you'll be smarter, and you'll know who to pick up of waivers, and hopefully you'll win more games. So for this week, my number one priority, and I'm sure this is everybody in the fantasy industry, Damian Williams. I was never a big Damian Williams guy. I was not the guy who was saying, oh, he could be better than X person on the Chiefs. He could take over this role. He could do this. He's a workhorse. No, he's not. He's been a career backup. He signed as a backup for a reason, but we know that the Bears use their running back, and they use primarily one running back, especially since Tariq Cohen's been hurt for, what, a year and a half now? And they use them in the passing game. So I think Damian Williams is my favorite waiver wire ad thus far this year. I was not sold on Elijah Mitchell, and granted, he did get hurt. I'm not victory lapping the injury. I'm just saying that I always saw him as part of a committee. I always saw that it was going to be hard to guess those touches. Now, Elijah Mitchell's probably going to get the majority of touches when he comes back with Trey Sermon. You know, Sermon has looked good, but he hasn't. I don't think he's ran away with the job by any means. So I could still see Elijah Mitchell getting in the fold here. But the difference is between Mitchell and Damian Williams' waiver wire ads, Damian Williams immediately slots in to take over the vast majority of that running back share. And that's valuable for fantasy. Look at David Montgomery. David Montgomery's obviously a better player, but he's been valuable for fantasy this year. He's been a locked-in RB2. And at week 5 in the season, RB2s don't just pop on the waiver wire every week. You don't have a, you know, 15-point, 20-point type of player just pop on waivers and say, you know, bid whatever you can to get them. That just doesn't happen. This is the time of the year where you need to make these moves. I'm okay with emptying the clip of my waiver wire points or fab on Damian Williams this week. That's fine. If you're a team that's 1-3, 0-4, even 2-2, and your RB2 stinks, if you're relying on Tyson Williams and now that's gone to bust, go ahead. Empty it all on Damian Williams. It's fine. This is a point where you need to take a chance. I was saying before, don't take a chance week one. It's still week one. It's fluky. Things can happen. But if you've gotten to the point where you're 1-3 and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make the playoffs. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have an RB2. My RB2 is, who knows, Lev Bell at this point. Like, you don't, you're desperate. So I'm okay with emptying it all on Damian Williams because the usage is there. He flashed in the game that he did play as soon as David Montgomery went out. I think Williams ended up with like 14, 15 points on the week, and he didn't even play the whole game. I think he's a smash for these next 4 to 5 weeks, right? He reminds me a lot of the Mike Davis of last year. Obviously, you know, that's a little bit hyperbole because Mike Davis was much more involved in the passing game with the Panthers when CMC went out last year. But I think Damian Williams can have the same kind of effect on fantasy teams. I would expect a lot of rosters that end up with Damian Williams to progress better these next couple weeks, to win more games than those who missed out on him. Because it is extremely valuable to have that RB2 slot of somebody consistent and you can just plug in. And who knows? I'm not wishing ill on David Montgomery, and I'm hoping his recovery goes well. But with a knee sprain, it could flare up. He could re-injure himself. We have no idea. Look at what CMC happened last year. Mike Davis was just supposed to be a rental, a couple-week rental. CMC tried coming back, hurt himself again. And then Mike Davis became league winner Mike Davis, right? So that can happen. So long story short, go ahead with Damian Williams. Do what you got to do to get him. I'm okay with it. If he doesn't work out, then you know what? You tried at a guy that looked like a locked-in RB2. And those are the kind of risks you have to take. My next guy is also running back, Samaje Perine. I'm not as high on him just because I don't think he's as good. I don't think he's as good a fit because of how the offense uses their running backs. We've seen the Bengals have not really targeted the running back position outside of that week one anomaly with Joe Mixon. So, and Mixon is not as severe an injury. He's week to week. Some are saying day to day. So he could be back as soon as next week. So I'm not blowing my fab on Samaje Perine. If you can get him cheap, great. Or if you have a positional need for 1 week, awesome. But other than that, I'm not super interested in him. Another deep guy is Brandon Bolden. We saw him take over that pass catching role that James White had had for so many years in this past week, and I would expect that's still going to be the case since J.J. Taylor fumbled on what I think was his first touch on the offense. And, you know, Belichick does put guys in the doghouse for things like that. So I'd absolutely be taking a speculative look at Brandon Bolden in full PPR leagues, and he could be a flex play for you. I'm also looking at Jamison Crowder, who, when he's healthy, has always been this PPR machine. He always is this 13 to 15 point kind of player where you put him in the flex. He's not going to give you crazy numbers, but you know what he is. So he was only rostered in under 5% of leagues, so go grab him because he looks like he has a good connection with Zach Wilson. And as long as he's healthy, he's consistent. And that's something that, you know, you can't turn your nose up at in fantasy. You need consistency too. Last guy is Trey Lance, and this is the kicker if Jimmy G doesn't play. But I will say that even if he does play, go pick him up. Or if somebody panic drops Lance, because let's say a report comes out later this week says, oh, Jimmy G is fine, he's going to start, still go pick him up. I advocated all offseason for people to do the approach of take somebody like a Kirk Cousins because their early season schedule, and then stash Trey Lance on the bench. And I think we've already seen that something like that can be very viable because, like I said, in one half of football, Trey Lance was the QB14 for fantasy because of his rushing upside. So the upside's there. We've seen it. We've already flashed it. And everyone else in your league has seen it. So if somebody drops him after these ads because, oh, well, he's not starting, no, I don't want him, then go pick him up. Go scoop him up because he's going to start at some point from the looks of it. I mean, the 49ers haven't looked that great on offense. And, you know, Shanahan had less than complimentary things to say about Lance, but we know we can't trust anything that man says. So I would add him because he's got league winner potential because of his rushing upside. So just if you have the room to stash him, do it now, even if he doesn't play right away. Getting to the super mailbag now, we do have a lot this week because I know everyone's either panicking or they want their question answered. I get it. I appreciate everyone's questions. So I'm going to go through these as fast as I can. I might linger on a little bit because they're interesting to me, but I'm going to do my best to get through them. This first question comes from @MattyG1996. He asked, obviously Najee Harris has been great for fantasy because of the rushing volume and checkdowns from Ben so far, but how do you see his outlook if/when the Steelers finally see some sense and bench Big Ben for Haskins or Mason Rudolph? So for one, I don't think they're going to bench Big Ben quite yet. If Big Ben doesn't play this week, I think it's because of injury. No, I'm not saying that's not better for the team for him to be benched because we've all watched it and the man has devolved into a noodle arm. That's the nicest way I can put it because he just can't drive the ball downfield. He doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look the same. And it stinks. It's sad to see that. You know, it's always sad to see great quarterbacks fall off because of age. No one roots for that. I wish Big Ben looked as good as Tom Brady does at his age. I mean, can you imagine that Steelers offense if Big Ben was still in his prime, essentially? It would be unstoppable. But in terms of Najee Harris, I would be more concerned if they make a quarterback change. Not that Rudolph is great and not that Haskins is great, but they could push the ball downfield more than Big Ben can. And what do they have to lose at this point? The Steelers are losing and losing bad, so why not push the ball downfield and take those shots? Now, Najee has had the rushing volume, but that rushing volume has been super inefficient. I mean, it's not pretty to watch that offensive line sometimes, and it's sad. If he had some semblance of an O-line, this would be a different story, but he's got a couple of folding chairs out there at left tackle and left guard. Like you can't overcome some of that stuff. And the way you can overcome it for fantasy is checkdowns. So that's why Najee Harris has been so good. And we talked about that earlier in the offseason where this was in his range of outcomes to be a Saquon Barkley type of rookie season in the fact that he would get a lot of passing volume, which would prop up his value. That's why he's been so high in value right now. But if you bench Big Ben, I would think some of that check down volume goes away. And I think Najee would probably go from a locked in RB1 every week in full PPR leagues to more of like a mid RB2, because then he falls into the category of, well, he might have 20 rushes for 80 yards. Look at Trey Sermon last week, 19 rushes for 89 yards, no touchdowns, no catches. And when that happens, let's say it happens. He has 90 yards rushing on the day. 9 points. Awesome. In a full PPR league, it's not losing you a week, but it's certainly not winning you a week. And out of a guy like Najee, who you now have as probably your RB1, you're banking on it. You're banking on, oh, I need 15 points from this guy at least to keep me in it. So if that passing work goes away, I'd be really concerned. Obviously, he's a talented guy. He can overcome those things. I'm not saying he can't get in the end zone. He can't do it. And it's not that he can't catch football. We all know that. But I would think that the offense would change a little bit. So I would be concerned, but I'm not there yet because I still think Big Ben will play. Next question comes from @Dante_NFL. They asked, would you more move Cordarrelle Patterson for Travis Kelce in a 12-team PPR redraft? Now, I'm going to try and keep myself subdued here because I don't want to blow out my microphone. Yes. Do it. What? Travis Kelce, the guy who's been the tight end one overall the last 5 years in a row? Oh, but he had 8-9 points last week. What? I'm worried about Kelce. No, you're not. Come on. The guy has one single-digit week in the last, like, 2 years, and you're concerned when he's the number one passing option in that offense? Tyreek Hill had a week, okay? But that's why they're 1A, 1B. That is it right there. We saw it. I'm not concerned about Travis Kelce. He's the one guy who I can look at and go, yep, he's going to be fine, right? Because we have so much data of his usage. We have so much data showing us that he's a great fantasy asset. He's practically a fantasy cheat code if you look at the positional advantage he provides at tight end. So, yeah, if someone in your league is stupid enough to trade you Travis Kelce for Cordarrelle Patterson, yes. I know Cordarrelle's the RB2 right now, but if his efficiency metrics are ridiculous. If he sustains this pace, he's going to have one of the greatest fantasy seasons of all time. He's like CMC 2.0. And I just don't see that happening. I'm going to lean with history here and say that his efficiency metrics will fall off, and this would be the time to sell high on him. And what else is the definition of selling high but trading the man who is probably a waiver wire pickup for Travis freaking Kelce? Sell him. Yes. Next question comes from @Dom_MSU. He asks, top waiver ads tonight, top trade targets, buy low candidates. So I already went over some waiver ads. You can see the full article, like I said, so I'll just do the trade targets here. I've been advocating for this for I think a week or two now, but go get Calvin Ridley and Stephon Diggs. The peripherals are all there. The targets, some even the catches, the yards, it's there. They just haven't hit on touchdowns or really long balls yet. Stephon Diggs is getting some of the most air yards in the league, but him and Josh Allen just haven't connected on that big ball like we saw all year last year. And I think that it's coming, and it's coming soon. And guys like Diggs and Ridley are the types of guys who I love buying low on from a first, like, half. It's not even half the year. It's been a quarter of the year. But first quarter of the year slump. Because you know once they hit, they're locked in wide receiver ones that can win you a week. We all know Stephon Diggs can take over. He can get 40 for you in a week like a Tyreek Hill. Calvin Ridley can do the same thing when he starts hitting on touchdowns. I'm a little more concerned about Ridley because of the quarterback situation. Matt Ryan looks worse. The offense looks worse and has continued to look worse. So I would prioritize Diggs over Ridley, but that's just because the offense he's attached to is so much better. It's not because of the player's ability. So those are two guys I've been targeting because I really think that the managers of those guys are frustrated at this point, and they think, oh, he's only going to give me 15 points a week. And one, like I said, you need consistency. 15 points a week is great. But these guys, the floor is 15 points. The ceiling is like 45, 50. So go get them while you can. I don't think, even if they don't hit on touchdowns soon, I think you won't be disappointed. Next question is from @FakeFootballs. He asked, in Dynasty 14 team Superflex, I just trade away Jacoby Myers for a 23 second, a 2022 third, a 2023 third, and Kellen Mond. How did I do? So it depends on the format and like construction of your roster. If you're a contender, I don't love the trade for you, in all honesty, because Jacoby Myers, I think, is a lot more valuable to you than those pieces you got. But if you're somebody who's in a long run rebuild, and you think, well, Myers isn't really doing anything for me, you know, I need the draft capital more, then yeah, that's fine. I get that. I don't think Jacoby Myers is some premium asset by any means. But I will say, if anyone's looking to trade away Jacoby Myers, I would wait. He has been steady. He's been consistent, but he has not had a single touchdown in his entire career. So if I'm a Myers manager, I'm waiting for some kind of blow up game because I think the peripheral numbers are there to warrant it and to show us that it's coming at some point. But I wouldn't sell just yet. If you really want to sell him, this is fine. I'm not a Kellen Mond truther or anything, so I don't really have much to tell you about him. But I think this is a fair compensation here, if that's what you're asking. Next question comes from at Ladarius Train. They ask, need help at running back. Who do I spend up on, Williams or P. Ryan? 50% plus. So you've been listening to this point. You know the answer. Williams, by all means. Next question comes from at Wolf on Sports. He asks, will I ever win again? Man, I don't know. I wish I could see your team so I could know and hopefully help you. But if you're not winning, this is now the time for a shameless plug for the Fantasy Football Karma Season Pass Plus, where we can help you win. We will make personalized trades for you. We will target guys in your league. We will help with waivers every week. We will help you with whatever the heck you want to make you a better fantasy football player, teach you how to be a better fantasy football player. So if you're interested in winning again, go head over to the site and check it out. Next question comes from at underscore C3. They ask, keep Zach Moss or pick up Damian Williams? Now, it kind of depends on how deep your roster is and bench, but I would want both. Moss has been good. Say what you will about the Bills' backfield and its inconsistencies, but Moss has put together 3 weeks in a row now where he's had double-digit fantasy points. You can't put your nose up at that. You just can't. You're going to put him in your flex or RB2 slot, and he's fine. Now, obviously, the bust games are coming. I think they are. I think Moss is going to, Moss feels like the type of guy, the second that you trust him, you put him in a lineup, like, yeah, he's going to give me 10 points this week, and then he gets you zero. Like, he seems like that kind of volatile asset. So I don't trust him entirely, but he's been giving you production. You can't complain about that. So if you got the space, pick up both. I certainly wouldn't drop Moss outright. If you want to get rid of him, look to trade him, because I think some guys in your league will probably be desperate for an RB2 type. Next question comes from unnamed person. Asks, who's most and least likely to turn it around? A-Rob, Miles Sanders, Myles Gaskin, or Brandon Ayuk? So I'll go in order of most to least likely. Allen Robinson, Miles Sanders, Brandon Ayuk, Myles Gaskin. Let me explain why. Allen Robinson, I do think, is just too good of a player to slump for this long. I really do. The only concern I have, and it's a valid and large concern, is Matt Nagy. His usage of just everything about this offense makes no sense. Offense obviously looked better with Justin Fields for full game, but you got to remember, it was against the Lions. I'm a Lions fan, and I can speak to it pretty clearly. The defense is composed of JV football players from your local high school. The JV might be better at your in-town high school. It might be at this point, because they've lost everyone, and they have next to no talent left. So if you're not going to look good against a defense, and it's not the Lions, what defense will you look good against? So that is concerning for Allen Robinson. I won't deny it. And I won't deny that, his peripherals don't even look that great. He had a couple of what were essentially garbage time catches at the end of this last game. But if they don't make a concerted effort to get him more involved, it's going to be a long road ahead. But the thing is, if you're an Allen Robinson manager, I don't think you can sell him. I don't think anyone's, one, going to give you anything in redraft. And if they do, you're going to be selling at such a loss, such a sunk cost, that is it even worth it? I would rather hold on to him, put him, bench him. I'm fine with that. Bench him for all means until he shows it. But keep him on the bench, because if he does turn it around, solid wide receiver too. And he could be a great second half of the year type of guy for you. He's iffy, but out of these options, I think he's most likely. Next one is Miles Sanders, because I think that we've seen a lot of Eagles games go weird, and the defense isn't great, okay? So there's still going to be more negative game scripts than not. But what's happened with Sanders and the Gainwell split is when they get into a negative game script, Sanders gets pulled from the field in terms of his usage, his snap rates, everything like that. And Gainwell becomes the primary guy because he's a better pass catcher than Miles Sanders. A lot of people knew that when he got drafted. And I had, if you listen to the show, I advocated for you to draft Kenneth Gainwell back end of your redraft leagues and, late in dynasty leagues if you could, because I always thought this was in the range of outcomes for him to essentially become the Nyheim Hines of this offense. and which we've seen come to fruition with his usage and his targets these last couple weeks. But I think Sanders can turn it around. A lot of it has been because they have gotten down so fast in games, and I think the Eagles are going to slowly get better as the season goes on. They've had offensive line issues, so as soon as those guys get healthy, I think Sanders will be better. I'm not saying turn around as in he's going to be some world beater. I could see him returning to like solid RB2 status, but nothing really more than that. Brandon Ayuk is out of the circle of trust for me. Somebody asked this question earlier, and I know I talked about him last week and I was fine starting him, but after seeing this performance this last week and what the Shanahanigans have fooled me again, I can't in good faith tell you to start Brandon Ayuk. I can't. He has to sit on your bench. The only way I'm going to start him now, and I can say this because I have him in my home league. He's been frustrating to manage. But if you have him, I'm sitting him on my bench unless it's pure desperation. But I'm sitting him until he strings together multiple weeks of targets and catches. He had like 3 targets. Nothing. In a negative game script game. It's so frustrating. But I still do think he's a talented player. He's got the skill set. He's got the peripheral measurables, everything like that to do it. It's just whether or not he gets used or not. So you can sit him on your bench until further notice, until he puts together like 2-3 double-digit point type of games. But till then, he's hard to buy in on. Myles Gaskin is last because look at how he was used this last week. Malcolm Brown has taken over the backfield. What is going on? Malcolm Brown is just supposed to be a guy. So if Malcolm Brown, who is just a guy in terms of NFL athleticism, you know, he's not some phenomenal player. He's like an average guy. If he can take over, what does that make Myles Gaskin? And the Dolphins have trailed in a lot of these games, and he's still not getting the target work that he did before. I didn't really like Myles Gaskin that much going into the season to begin with. I thought he may probably be like a solid RB2, maybe fringe RB3 type of guy in PPR. But I was never like, oh, this is the Gaskin breakout year. You're all just missing it. I don't think he's going to turn it around at this point. I think he'll string together a couple of solid performances, like 10, 15 points, but I don't see him being this, you know, value of the year like a lot of people thought he was, or at least talked about it. Next question comes from @CustomVinylLush. They asked, would you rather have Dawson Knox or Dalton Schultz, and would you consider flexing either of those over a guy like Corey Davis? So this partially depends if you're a tight end premium or not. If you're not a tight end premium, probably not. Because I still like Corey Davis as a deep shot guy. He showed it this last week. And he does have a high target share. And the Jets will be trailing more games than not, which I think is not what can be said about the Cowboys or the Bills. But out of these two, I think if you're full PPR, I lean Dalton Schultz. Because I think he's going to have more volume sustained than Dawson Knox. But if you're anything but full PPR, I'd go Dawson Knox. Because of this high touchdown total, he's running a lot of routes. He's getting targeted on a lot of routes. And Knox is starting to look like this year's Robert Tonyan. What I mean by that is the high volume of touchdown percentage. Tons of touchdowns, which is what boons his fantasy value. I think he had 2 this last week. And guys like that at the tight end position just skyrocketed to the top of the production because tight end or touchdowns skew things so much. So I like both of them. I mean, I would rather have Schultz full PPR, like I said, but Knox is starting to look like that sleeper of the year breakout. Next question comes from @EVSPRS215. Is Cordarrelle Patterson a sell high or should I hold? I have Aaron Jones and Monty for running backs, and I highly doubt I'll be able to pick Damian Williams off waivers. So I include this question because at first glance, yes, like I said, Cordarrelle Patterson is a sell high, but you don't have another running back. Montgomery's out 4 to 5 weeks minimum. And if you can't get Damian Williams, like you say, you don't really have an alternative in sight. So I think you're kind of forced to hold him. Because you have to put somebody out there. And he's been doing well. My only caveat to this is if you can sell Cordarrelle and get a running back plus in return. Let's say you sell Cordarrelle Patterson for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe they want to kick in like a Juju Smith-Schuster as gross as he's been. Yeah, do that. That's fine. But I would say unless you can get somebody to send you a running back in return that you can start, he's a hold. Next question comes from @GeneralVizzy. He asked, how do you feel about dropping 40% fab on Damian Williams if Monty is your RB2? Even if it is 4 to 5 weeks, I think it's worth it to stay competitive. Redraft PPR. I would say, my man Ivan, that you're not being aggressive enough. I think 40% is probably going to be light. Obviously, some people have spent their entire fab on Elijah Mitchell and some other players along the way here, but if you have that much left, then go for it. I mean, I'm serious about saying, you know, up to like 70%, that's fine. I'm okay with it. And especially if Montgomery is your RB2. Because like I said, if you're 1-3 and you drop four more games over the next 4 to 5 weeks, you're not going to make the playoffs, or at least the odds are very slim. So right now, it feels like the most important time of the year, because you got to start racking up some wins here to keep yourself in it. Otherwise, you know, you're what, 10th, 9th place in the league, or if it's 12 team, you're 12-11, and you're just kind of hoping to upset some of the teams that are going to make the playoffs. I mean, that's not very fun. So I would go as much as you possibly can, because I just think that he's going to end up winning people some weeks. Next question comes from @DavisLove13. He asks, what's your feeling on Gallup? So Michael Gallup's on IR, if you didn't know, for a calf injury, I believe, and he's not expected back anytime soon. I saw a report today saying he's not ready yet. So if you have Gallup on IR, great, you can leave him there. That's fine. But if when he comes back quickly, I still think he's inconsistent wide receiver 3 type, boom, bust. We obviously saw good usage for him in that week 1 outing against the Bucks, but everyone on the Cowboys performed well in that game, and it has skewed a lot of things. Look at what CeeDee Lamb's done since then. I like Lamb a lot, but look at the production since those games, right? So week 1 skews things. I'm not super high on Gallup, but if he's on your IR, leave him there. This last question comes from @RobFFAddict. He asked, will Robert Woods be joining Stafford and Kupp for breakfast anytime soon? If so, will he bring A, nothing and will mooch their food, B, cereal, C, bacon, eggs, more bacon, and French toast? So I don't know Robert Woods personally, but Robert Woods, if you're out there somewhere, bring C. You need to get in the good graces of Matthew Stafford. You need to take some of these Cooper Kupp targets away for all of our fantasy team's sake, please. The Cooper Kupp managers have been insufferable with their wide receiver 1 overall getting what feels like 50 targets a game, while us measly Robert Woods managers sit here hoping for a few, just 3, 4, 5, Matthew, please give us a couple targets. Bring the bacon, Robert Woods. Bring all the bacon you can. I know it's expensive now. Bacon prices are through the roof, but I think you can afford a little bit of bacon to make Matthew happy. If that's what we want, if he wants turkey bacon, bring him turkey bacon. If he wants tofu bacon, who cares? If he wants the microwave bacon that takes 1 minute in the microwave from Walmart, awesome. Bring the man whatever he wants to start getting yourself some targets. And in a serious note, though, McVay did say they want to get Woods more involved in the offense. They know he's a good player. I'm sure Stafford knows he's a good player. And they paid a lot of money for Robert Woods to be on that team, so they're going to use him. I do think better days are ahead for Woods. He obviously kind of got bailed out by a touchdown this last week. But stay the course with Woods. I think you can start him. I don't expect him to bring you anything special, but he's had double-digit points in full PPR 3 out of the last 4 weeks. So he's not busting for you, but he's also not doing what you expected. That's it for today's show. Make sure to follow me on Twitter @ClinicCap. And if you like the show, be sure to like and subscribe or follow the show anywhere that podcasts can be found so you never miss an episode. And leave a quick review if you'd be so kind. If you want to directly ask me questions about fantasy football, sports betting, dynasty leagues, or life in general, head over to dfskarma.com and join our free chat room where you can talk to me nearly 24/7, 365. If you want even more fantasy help and access to our proprietary tools, you can get our Fantasy Football Karma Season Pass today over at dfskarma.com. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the No Cap Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review anywhere podcasts can be found.